In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, we begin a new year on the liturgical calendar of the Church. We have traveled together through the full cycle of celebrations and enactments of significant events in the history of our faith. And today, we are starting over. The church year begins with the season of Advent, a time of waiting and anticipation. Most of us think of Advent as a time of waiting for Christmas, for the birth of the sweet little Christ child. We have Advent calendars and Advent devotionals all focusing our attention on the amazing idea that God would put on flesh and be born as a vulnerable baby in a minority community to parents who couldn't even afford a proper birthing center. This is indeed an amazing mystery to ponder. When I was serving as a hospital chaplain at St. Joseph Medical Center in Bellingham, the spiritual care department would set up a creche, a manger scene, each year for the holidays. But we never put the baby Jesus in the scene until Christmas Day. What that meant was that people like me, who had not grown up in a church that adhered to the liturgical calendar, were always asking after the baby Jesus. Because they assumed he had been stolen. So finally, we had to put a sign on the front of the creche explaining that Advent is a time of waiting, that the baby Jesus indeed would make an appearance during the 12 days of Christmas between December 25th and January 6th. But until then, fans of the baby Jesus had to wait. So we spend our days waiting, wondering, and praying. Advent is about waiting. For some of us, it is about waiting for a particular day, for Christmas Day, and all the joy and the sorrow that that particular day might bear for us. But here, on Advent 1, as we begin our new liturgical year and a new journey through the story of the Bible, our readings today say nothing about sweet little babies and quiet pastoral scenes. Instead, our readings are in the genre of apocalypse. They talk about the end of the world. Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil." Likewise, Jesus says, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." This is the language of people in anguish, people who are suffering. The people to whom Isaiah and our psalm and Jesus are speaking to are waiting, all right, but it's not a manger scene that they're waiting for. Instead, they are crying out, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." They are waiting for a God who has delivered before to deliver again and completely. They are waiting for the world to be turned upside down and for unjust systems to be dismantled. Now, if you are comfortable with the way the world is, if you are reasonably content, then the end of the world might not sound like good news. But for everyone who is hurting, or vulnerable, or heartbroken, for everyone who is looking to God to fix things, their most urgent question is, when? And Jesus' response is this: about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. What I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. That is profoundly disappointing to me. How does Jesus not know? Is Jesus not a member of the Holy Trinity, God in the flesh? Is Jesus like a cruel, teasing older brother? Oh, relief will come, wars will cease, babies will no longer starve, people will no longer be loved less due to differences. All will be right in the world, but I'm not going to tell you when. I don't know. Is there another angle on this puzzle? Is there another kind of waiting that might be going on? Maybe it's not just me who is waiting. Usually, we like to think of time as a scientific measurement. We mark its passage by the phase of the moon or the sweep of the second hand. But time can be something else, too. Time is a way of marking relationship with God. Time, our process of engaging in relationship with God, has been given over totally to our control. Because love cannot be synchronized to the vibration of atoms or the orbits of celestial bodies. Love can only be invited, freely given, and freely received. When Jesus says that he doesn't know the time, maybe he's not talking about days and months and years at all, but about relationship, a giving and receiving of love. Perhaps the mystery of the coming of the kingdom of God into my life is an event for which Jesus is waiting with bated breath. Maybe Jesus is waiting, not like a child helplessly counting off the days until Christmas, but more like a fisherman watching his line, relaxed and concentrating, ready to respond with joy and excitement, patiently enduring the nibbles and waiting for a proper tug. Maybe there's a reason Jesus liked hanging out with fishermen. I don't know. No one knows, not even Jesus. But I wonder if the second coming of Christ will come on a day that is not yet fixed on a calendar. I wonder if the second coming of Christ could happen even today, the moment that we become open to an encounter with Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Last week we heard Jesus talk about sheep and goats. Jesus said that when we feed the hungry and welcome strangers and visit prisoners, then we have encountered him, Jesus, in the flesh. When you look into your selfish, cranky spouse's eyes with grace, you will encounter Jesus there. When you respond to your demanding, entitled children with patience, you will encounter Jesus there. When you love the neighbor that you don't know, or even more challengingly, the ones that you do know, you will encounter Jesus there. If only we had the eyes to see in all these places and all these people, Jesus is waiting, welcoming us into the kingdom of God. On the day that we open our eyes and look as we encounter Jesus, then indeed the world will be changed. That will be the end of the world as we have known it, and the beginning of our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Beware. Keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. This is the season of Advent. The church calendar invites us once again to a new awareness, a new readiness to encounter Jesus in the world today. You don't have to wait for Christmas or for Easter or even for Groundhog Day. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you look carefully, you might find that Jesus is the one doing the waiting. Jesus is sitting next to you in the pew this morning. He'll be seated across the table from you at lunch today. If you have eyes to see, you will find Jesus in your workplace or at the shops or wherever this week takes you. Beware. Keep alert. Jesus is waiting expectantly, eagerly, to be encountered by you.